To Die For podcast includes the spooky, scary, salacious, and sometimes psychotic. Listener discretion is advised. The button.
Oh my god, the button?
The button.
Please don't push my buttons.
But it's so fun.
No. It's so easy.
I'm wearing overalls, so you have two to push.
I know. Yeah. I'm totally eyeing those. Plus, I can see two buttons on your microphone. I want to press those too.
Those are my nipples.
Your nipples microphone? Are literally on top of each other and black. Wow.
No
very
comment.
Mechanical. And in the middle of your chest, even.
Yeah.
No comment.
I'm a little concerned now.
Right? Maybe you should get that checked.
No, I like it. It's just the way I am. I like it. So what we did? What do we do? We did like ghost stories last week.
We mm-hmm. did. Yep.
What do we get to do this week?
Well, before we get into that, this is To Die For.
No, again. I just want to get into it.
No. We have to introduce it to 73 people on our podcast.
Damn it. Are we at 73? I'm still only talking the first 69.
I don't know how many people have listened last week.
I don't remember.
To be determined quantity of people, we need to introduce ourselves properly.
Well then. I am Lizza, and this is Lolo.
I'm the other one.
That other one, and then we have Noodles.
Hi there.
Is that just like the kind of week that we're having?
Yeah. I I could probably bust out in tears right now, so.
No, don't
yes.
do that.
Cry. Cry.
Cry.
Cry. Cry. Cry.
I love you too. All right.
Are we like the good like shoulder spirit and the bad shoulder spirit?
Today you might be. Like usually, Lolo, I feel like you're the one that's just like, I fuck everything, like burn it all down.
Wait, hey. So that could just, I could still be that.
You could. Right. If
but
you really wanted
now
to.
Now Noodles can be on the further side than me, which will be impressive.
Weep. Cry. Weep.
Lovely.
Cry. Right.
Well, on that cheerful note, it's big announcement time.
Yay!
With the addition of Noodles to the team, there is a lot more discussion, debate, and cat wrangling. And
hey, don't blame this on me.
100% on you.
That's bullshit.
This is awesome.
Oh my god.
I believe that there was multiple cats that need to be wrangled and not just
yeah,
Noodles.
Yeah, but before that, it was just me. I was just busy being a cat, and I was fine.
You didn't have another cat to fuck
right.
with.
Two cats is different.
Audience number 73, you know that we had a very streamlined...
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, okay,
I think
cool.
Thank you for proving my point. Everything yeah. is great.
So I'm going to move on now to keep it streamlined. So yes, with all of that, I just don't feel like that gives us enough time to devote to two stories per episode. So starting this week, we are going to give it a try where we go back and forth from the true crime to the spooky ookies. So we're still going to have the same theme for both weeks, but only one story per week.
Two stories in, only one story out. Right? Like a cage battle or something? That's like a thing, right?
Like one
I'm not such out? A I'm not such a big cage fighter connoisseur. sorry.
Okay.
Give him the chair. No. So we're going to give it a try. We'll see what we think. Maybe we hate it. Maybe we love it. Who knows? But, you know, it's my podcast, so I do what I want.
I think I can remember things better when you only talk about one thing.
All right. Well, we'll give that a shot next week and see. So on that note, our topic for the next 2 weeks is vampires.
Twilight.
So break out the glitter, boys and girls, and theys and thems, and everyone in between. Because, yeah, it's about to get all Twilighty up in here.
Scariest thing of all is glitter.
Quick question.
Yes.
What's your favorite vampire movie?
Oh.
I know what mine is.
Ooh.
Queen of the Damned.
No.
What? Why? What's wrong with Queen of the Damned? It's badass. Goth music. Goth punk. Badass. Lestat is fucking amazing. Fucking hot ass black girl. Oh my god, she's fucking hot. And and there's lots of man nipple in it, which whatever. It's cool.
I mean, this does seem to be a nipple-centric episode for you already.
Yeah. Queen of the Damned, number one. 73,
no.
You fall with me. Boom.
But I also am a bit of an Anne Rice fiend and have read, like, well, up until she went Christian, I've read everything that she wrote. And, yeah, there was just way too many flaws for that one. I like the Underworld series. They're super fun.
They have good outfits. It's Underworld is like Vampire Matrix, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say the one with Kate Beckinsale and Wolverine. Like, it wasn't a great movie, but she was hot as fuck in that movie. Van Helsing.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it wasn't a great movie, but damn.
Lola, okay, did you have hot as fuck individuals in your movie? Or?
No.
No.
I am going for a vampire comedy.
Okay.
And it's gonna be I think it's What We Do in the Shadows. That's what it's called.
Oh,
I've not
The original show, the new show, or the movie with Johnny Depp?
There's a movie with Johnny Depp?
I think so.
No, this Hold is on. Like Flight of the Conchords dudes.
Oh.
Just those two and then Johnny Depp in a room.
I don't remember Johnny Depp in it.
Well, and a hippopotamus, so.
And the rhinoceros.
Oh, yeah. But that's the Flight of the Condors.
Concord.
I always say condors because that makes more sense. Fuck you guys.
Sorry.
Not to mention that my husband's in the background correcting it as well. So fuck all of y'all.
Well, you hear that, husband? Your husband's fucking right.
Okay, then what? Maybe it wasn't that. What movie was that?
Michael, what is the movie that I want? Like,
I think it is. I think you were right. On
yeah,
yours.
It's What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, Dark Shadows. I was thinking of Dark Shadows. Never mind. Okay.
Totally different.
Completely different. But also the What We Do in the Shadows TV show is really funny. Okay.
I didn't realize that they had a TV show.
Yeah. I think it's on Netflix or Hulu. I don't know. You should watch it. It's fine.
Absolutely.
I hope this week's a murder week. Sorry.
Just putting that out there.
I really hope.
Do you just need that in your life right now?
This week, I feel like I really just want to bludgeon somebody with a brick.
Oof. I'm really glad that we're separate.
I also like the cattail that is just... Right. that is just floating across your screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's literally, like, sitting here staring at me. Like, you can't really... She's no. like pops her little face in and out.
I thought you were like messing with your microphone. No, it's the cat's Mm-mm. tail. It's great. Mm-mm. It's great. Okay. Well, Noodles, shit's about to get super real. And this one has some super serial trigger warnings. So, like,
oh.
This is your fair warning.
Made me burp a little.
My that if copper nipples are getting so hard. Oh.
If you have triggers, this one is probably going to hit one of them at least. So,
what if I have all of the triggers?
Well, it's going to hit all of them. So,
are cats killed?
No.
Okay. You know, I could just do it every other week.
No.
I do ghost week. You do murder week. And then it's going to be fine.
Or we'll just keep going. So, on that note, let's head back to May 26, 1883 in Mülheim, Germany, where Peter Curtin was born.
Peter Curtin?
Yes. I think it's Curtin. Might be Curtin. I don't know. But I'm going with Curtin. So, he was the third of 13 children, which is way too many. And yeah, it's just so many. So his family was poverty stricken, which makes sense.
Because there was 13 of them.
Correct. And they all lived in a one-room apartment. And if that wasn't horrible enough, his father was a raging abusive alcoholic who would take out his anger on his wife and kids. So we're just starting out strong.
I feel like all alcoholics take out their anger on their kids. 13 kids. This woman had quite the job here.
I don't know how that woman walks.
Right? No, she doesn't. Waddles. Yeah,
that's at least almost 13 years of her life that she spent pregnant.
Yeah. It's too many.
Oh, man. Too many. So,
well, and we're talking late 1800s, 13 right? pregnancies.
Which, I mean, at that point, you have to have a lot because you're going to lose a few anyways.
Yeah, I wonder how many she lost. That's the real question.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't, yeah. Oh, man.
What's the profit margin here? Jeez.
Jesus. I mean, so they're abject. The answer is abject poverty.
Correct. And abusive alcoholic father. Who would abuse his wife and kids and trigger also rape his wife in front of the kids.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's how you got 13.
Everybody's okay. Everybody's okay that lived in that house.
Well, yeah, except for maybe his 13-year-old daughter because he then went to jail for 3 years for raping her, too.
Mom.
Yeah. So...
So, was this, like, one of those situations where he was, like, raping the ma, and then she was, like, out of the picture, so he turned the daughter, or what?
Nope.
They were all just getting raped together.
They were all there. Yep. And, yeah, so on that note, you know, it being 19th century Germany, the mom didn't really have options to get out of this.
It wasn't really anybody else's business, because women are property.
Right. So until her husband was arrested, though, for the incest and rape, that allowed her to finally get a separation, and she eventually remarried. But they were in that situation for so long that Peter had picked up pretty much all of his dad's bad habits, plus some. He had also formed a ridiculously unhealthy friendship with the local dog catcher who lived in their same building.
Peter.
More trigger warnings. This man would teach him how to torture dogs, masturbate, perform bestiality, and even how to stab the animals while climaxing to increase the pleasure, I guess.
What?
Jesus Christ. This is fantastic. So I love it.
I think we can totally petition to have Lola week and then noodles week.
This is fantastic. 73, you're in for a treat. We got incest. Yeah, we got bestiality.
It's practically the Bible up in here.
It's a fucking circus.
Right?
Yeah, this is not funny whatsoever.
a half a paragraph. So
how many pages do we do now?
Two.
How the fuck do you write this shit? Like, you just write it and you're like, and then you go about your day and you're like, man.
Yeah.
Oof.
There's something wrong in my head. Okay. That's all it is. Okay. So,
Peter,
but yeah, Kurtwell.
Oof.
Yeah, so poor Peter, off of all of this, like, clearly he had just no fucking chance of being, like...
Poor Peter? Ooh, no way.
I mean, yeah, this kid did not have a chance. Turns out, total asshole, but, you know, with excellent training.
You can totally feel bad for a little kid before they,
yeah,
you know, like, yes.
But not for a kid that's... Never,
I think, you know, once he started killing the dogs, masturbating, I feel like we're going to definitely have to, and there might have been some other things.
See,
we needed to stop
this brings
earlier,
up a, this brings up an important point, actually. You know, like with the judicial system, because there's some psychiatrists and psychologists that can see precursors, which is part of the reason why they started doing serial killer analysis. So they could maybe see precursors. So what happens when an individual sees precursors in, say, Peter, before he's done anything? Do you feel bad for him? Or do you like, oh, this kid's going to rape dogs?
Well, I think you can feel, first of all, you can feel both things.
No.
That's true.
Dog rapist?
I feel both things. I'm like, oh man, like what fucked up thing in your life happened that this is like the cool thing for you? And then also like noticing that this, so in an ideal world, like, okay, we see like child showing interest in like raping dogs. Maybe we should get him some psychiatric help and also warn all of the local dogs.
What?
warn
oh my
dogs.
God, Lola.
Fucking they put up little flyers. It just says like woof,
right?
Woof, bark,
no,
woof.
I think that's there's I think there can be compassion on all levels.
Here's the question.
And still horror.
And still be horrible.
Trigger warning. Trigger warning.
Oh no.
I'm triggered already.
When he's raping a dog, is he doing doggy style?
See, that's just stupid.
73, you get it.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We are moving on. So yeah, he was also, while he was young, he was also a frequent runaway, a thief, and a arsonist, which also apparently gave him sexual gratification.
God, what a baller. Jesus.
No.
I mean, he's
that
going all out.
Just sounds like he's getting hard all the time.
Right, I know. He's just hit puberty, so everything makes him
horny. Oh my god. Oh, poor sweetie. Everything's
no, I don't.
Just a raging hormone, which I do feel for him. And also, oh man, somebody needs to stop
somebody
that.
Needs to bludgeon this kid.
Jeez. I mean, hindsight, maybe. But
a psychopath with raging hormones just seems like a horrible combo.
Yeah, definitely did not go great.
You know what's fucked is that we're in the first, like, fucking paragraph of this thing, and you know it's going to get worse, Lolo. You know Peter
fucking Curtin's
going to do some shit.
I actually wasn't thinking about it, but thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Damn it.
It's like going to the dentist, and you're in the fucking, like, you're in the room, and you're like, I know this is going to get worse.
I want to rip this Band-Aid off, like, go for this, Lizzie. Go for it.
Tell me
about Curtin. Some shitty shit.
I'm trying. So at the age of 9, he would later confess that he committed his first murders while rafting on the Rhine. He pushed one friend off who couldn't swim. And then when the second friend jumped in to save him, he held that boy's head underwater until he drowned. It was all deemed a terrible accident, and Peter continued on his merry way. Mm-hmm. So there is no full proof that that's what happened, but that's what he said happened.
And this is documented that those two boys did die.
They did die, yes.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
But, yeah. At 16, he ran away for the final time and would strike out on his own. And then he would end up in and out of jail for the next 24 years. Mm-hmm. And,
good
of
for
course,
him.
Would
three
blame...
squares a day.
I know. There you
probably
go.
The freakiest asshole in prison, and everybody was scared of him.
Was he in the Lazy Susan prison? That's the real question.
When you said the freakiest asshole, I thought you were talking about sex.
I mean, you're not wrong.
That too.
Not wrong at all.
Oops. Oof. He would end up blaming all of his violent actions on the brutal treatment that he received in jail. And he said that he was just hellbent on taking revenge on society for the treatment he received there.
I mean, okay, so maybe he didn't win there and he actually was a major, like, everybody hated him and then it was really bad. Also already a crazy person before he went to jail.
He would do his best to get sent to solitary confinement so he could sit alone and embellish his disgusting fantasies.
At least he's creative.
I guess use your time. I don't know.
The mind can do many things in the dark. Seriously. Oh, God.
I know. It's icky. It's icky.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
So that's like the thing that he like said, like he got interviewed. Like, how do we have this information?
He gave up basically like everything when he was captured, which we'll get to a little bit later, obviously. Also, could you move your mic just a little closer?
Yes. Here, I can actually.
What a loser.
Fuck you.
Curtain style.
Ew. Oh, God.
What?
Ew.
I don't even want to know what curtain style is.
Nope.
Is it a thing? Is it really a thing?
No.
Oh, saying yeah,
no
it
is. And moving on. Shh. As Peter grew older. Lolo, that look.
I'm going to look this shit up.
All right. As Peter grew older, he became a handsome and charming young man, which allowed him to easily attract women, but it generally didn't go well when his violent tendencies and complete lack of empathy or emotions arose. Mm. You know, weirdly, girls are not into that, you know?
Right.
Nobody's really into that.
Yeah. So not super helpful. In 1913, at the age of 30, he committed his first provable murder. So he broke into an inn and was going through the rooms there, and he came across 10-year-old Christine Klein sleeping in her bed. He strangled her into unconsciousness, sexually assaulted her, and then slit her throat with a small pocket knife.
Huh. I mean, I'm not like baffled by that news.
I kind of expected it there.
I did find out that curtain sex is a thing.
Oh.
So says okay. Urban Dictionary.
What does it mean?
So, curtain sex. Curtain sex is when you come home and you see a penis sticking out from between the curtains. Instead of calling the police like a normal person, you flick it, suck it, and insert it on it. You insert yourself on it. There you go.
Flick it?
Flick it. That's what it says, flick it.
I don't want that. Boing. I don't want that at all.
No,
what was that thing the owl does?
I know. Flick,
flop,
owl
and
do?
Scurry. Scurry.
Oh, right.
No, he doesn't.
Tumble.
Squirt.
It was like roll.
Flick, squirt,
tumble,
and scurry.
And jump. Scurry. Spit, there roll, was... and scurry. Spit, roll, and scurry.
Spit, roll, and scurry.
It was spit.
Spit, roast, and
roll,
scurry.
Spit, tumble, and scurry.
Anyway, I said no curtain spit. Style because of Peter Curtin.
It's his last name.
I didn't even really remember that, but I did look up curtain sex, and it's a thing.
We're all better for it.
Yeah.
I thought about when I typed it in.
Like, I thought, who comes home and just finds a penis sticking out of their
Well, fortunately, they insert the words, instead of calling the police like a normal person.
Yes, seriously.
Alexis, we need to buy curtains. So you can flick my penis.
Flick, spit, and skirt.
Just that visual is horrible. Nobody's going to be pleasured by that.
Ooh, okay. Back to some really fucked up shit. So he just murdered poor little 10-year-old Christine.
Oh, that's right.
He then locks the door and just leaves. He might have been caught then, but the universe has just a weird sense of humor. So he had dropped a handkerchief with his initials on it in her room.
Like, on purpose?
No, I think he did actually, like, it was an accident. Like, it fell out of his, yeah, like, it fell out of his pocket. But, weirdly, this leads the police to the girl's uncle. So the uncle's name was Otto. And the night before the murder, he had actually threatened Christine's father after the dad denied Otto a loan. And so
Was it an Otto loan?
I know.
They thought it was Otto.
They did.
Not Otto.
So they assumed that he took the handkerchief from his brother, who just so happened to have the exact same initials as Peter, and then, you know, accidentally, or like tried to blame it on the dad that the uncle did. Yeah. Anyways.
Is Otto like a nickname or what?
No, Otto was the uncle. Name.
Yeah. Otto was the uncle.
Oh, they stole it from his brother who had the same initials.
Peter. Yeah. And so they think that he stole the handkerchief and then tried to frame the brother who was Christine's dad.
Wow.
Yeah. A little, like, random and convoluted, but he was actually charged and tried, but eventually acquitted. But that, of course, you know, definitely threw everyone off the scent of Peter. The following year, he was drafted into the army for World War I, but he definitely wasn't cut out for that, and he soon deserted.
I mean, I would think that he'd be, like, into it. He's like, oh my god, I can kill people with, like, mostly
anonymity. I think it was the structure of it, you know, like, like, I'm sure he would have enjoyed that part, but the actual having to, like, listen and, you know.
And pretend like he's following orders and stuff.
Can't really have curtain sex with a dog in the army, so.
Yeah. I mean,
don't know pretty enough big about downside. Army life.
When the foxhole is a rockin', don't come a knockin'. Okay.
Jesus. You're such a hound dog.
This is where we're going.
Do you want us to go back to nipples? Would that be better?
Then dog sex, maybe.
Okay. Well, he was caught and sent to jail for the next 7 years, where he had plenty of time to work on those violent fantasies we talked about. When he was released, he went and lived with his sister and then met his soon-to-be wife, who was a former sex worker who had shot her previous fiancé for jilting her at the altar.
So this might be an appropriate relationship.
So she was guilt-ridden and spent her life feeling like she had to basically take whatever was thrown at her to atone for her actions.
So never mind. Worst combo.
What a perfect combo.
No.
The worst of the worst and the woman who deserves the worst of the worst.
Who thinks that she deserves that.
Right.
Fantastic.
Weirdly, though, like, even though he seemed to basically have the perfect victim now as, like, quote, his property, they did just kind of live a normal, productive life for 4 years. Just completely normal, doing their thing. He got a job. He didn't, like, hurt anyone. Just hung out with his wife. But they then moved back to Dusseldorf, And for the next 4 years, he did manage to satisfy himself with theft, arson, and violent sexual encounters with other women, but all of that changed in February of 1929. For some reason, Dusseldorf seemed to just, like, be his trigger. Whenever he was there, he was just like, crime time!
So wait, he was doing... So for 4 years, he was, like, cool and not an asshole to anybody.
He was living somewhere else. He was in, like, a little town, the same little town his sister had lived in. And mm-hmm. was, yeah, seemed to be normal.
And then there was another 4 years of, like, sort of murder and mayhem?
No murder, but definitely mayhem. Okay. And, yeah. So
and that was in Dusseldorf.
Yeah. Okay. As soon as he got back to Dusseldorf, it seems like everything just went down the drain. Oof. So in February of 1929, at the beginning of the month, he overtook a woman named Maria Kuhn, and he grabbed her by the lapels of her jacket, stabbed her 24 times, and then ran off. Somehow she survives.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, is he shitty at stabbing her? Did he just stab her with, like, a needle?
I don't know. I mean, maybe,
she's just,
you know,
a hardy fucking woman.
Something. Or, yeah, I don't know. But 24 times and she still somehow survives. So that's just fucking bonkers.
Right. Well, I do want to, I am curious about the, I feel like the size of the stabbing implement does matter. Also, location matters. And apparently, curtains aim is shit.
Right, right. Yeah. So
or he just wanted to torture her. That's possible.
It is.
Yeah, this guy ran up on me and stabbed me in the kneecap 24 fucking times. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I mean, yeah. Like, if he, I think he really enjoys making living things suffer.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, maybe it's like his, you know, those tiny little, your like first Swiss Army knife that's like
right.
And a
that's
half
not
long.
Really like, it's like his beginner murder knife.
Yeah.
But so I feel maybe. Like he's been doing this for a while, so maybe not so much.
I know. So I don't know. I don't know how she did survive, but she did. 6 days later, though, he came across 8-year-old Rosa Oliger, or Rosa, as she was walking down the street.
No.
He stabbed her 3 times and then hid her body under a hedge.
So she died after 3 times on that one.
Yes. She's also, though, 8.
Right. Well, and maybe he just had a child, like a literal child-sized knife?
I don't know. There's some other just like super bad shit, but I'm just going to leave that out and keep going.
What are you talking about? You talk about dog sex, you talk about raping people, and then you can't talk about 8-year-old lady that dies underneath a hedge? Nope. Come on, the 73 needs to hear this.
Oh my god, nope. It's worse.
See, Lolo needs to hear it.
I don't need to hear it. Let's move along.
It was icky, so we're just going to move along.
All right.
He came back the next morning, poured gas on her, and then lit it. And for both of these attacks, he went back to the scene of the crime at least once and found out that he could get off just from that, which is also super fucking icky.
Well, you know, at least he got a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, I guess. 5 days later, he encountered a 45-year-old mechanic named Shear, and he stabbed him 20 times and then left him on the road.
Jesus Christ, this guy.
Yeah, clearly a child-sized knife.
This guy did die.
Oh, well, but still, yeah. 22 times.
Placement.
I think there's a lot of rage, too, but I think some of it is also planned out because everything wasn't super consistent. you know, like, so I think he used different things to stab people, and, you know, he would do different times and different victims. You know, he's got a full grown woman, and then he's got a young girl, and then he's got this random guy. Is he doing this
to make it so that it's harder? How do the police? Oh, because he told everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So eventually they'll find out, you know, and link it all together.
But before that, they couldn't link it at all.
At this time, there was no like crime unit. There was no like linking serial killers or anything. They were just like, oh, fuck, we've got like some gruesome.
Another dead body.
Another gruesome murder.
Yeah. So it's, you know, they do start to kind of tie it together, but it does make it harder because there were so many variables across the attacks. He even had the balls to come back the next day and ran into a cop at the scene where he had left the mechanic in the road. He strikes up a conversation with him.
I hate this guy.
And the cop was kind of suspicious, but like thinking, why would I be suspicious? You know, because he just kind of like sauntered up and was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? He totally spoke freely with him all about the crime. Which is just
the
like
the cop did?
Yeah, the cop was just like,
oh yeah. Like we don't know, some sick fuck like did some shitty shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And Peter, of course, just fucking got off on it because he's like, dude, I'm the one that did it and I'm standing here talking to you. Like, yeah.
Right.
Ugh.
So many serial killers do that though. Like
I know. Yeah. It's just so ballsy. But again, it was also so much easier to get away with things like at this time.
Well, they have like cops like look at like funerals of dead people to see if they can like find somebody who's there like that's not part of the family or anything like that, you know. So
yeah
well isn't they, it like, generally somebody that does know him anyway, so it's kind of harder to find him in the
the majority of the time, unless you're talking about generally serial killers, it's someone that you knew. But I think it's more for cases like this where they're just like, fuck if I know. Anyways, the press ran wild with all with sensational coverage of each attack. They just kind of went into lurid details, and then they went into a super feeding frenzy when they found out that the police suspected that the attacker was drinking the bloods of his victims, which he then became known as the Vampire of Dusseldorf.
Oh, I had forgotten that vampires were even a thing that we were thinking about.
I was gonna say, like, it was in the back of my mind, and I was like, wait a second, this cat's just fucked up. This isn't a fucking vampire.
Is he a vampire?
This is fucked up.
Right, well, because that's our theme, right? So,
yep.
So this is a real life vampire, because he's gross.
Ooh, irony. Okay.
I don't like this guy at all. I don't want to talk about him.
You're the one that wanted to listen to the murder story.
Yeah, but
this is too murdery for you.
No. Not at all. It's just all
right.
This guy does so much. Like, you know how some, you know, okay, so some murder stories are like a one in like a large quantity of brutality. And then, like, they're either caught or they have to move or change their patterns. But the time period and the lack of fucking police, either police presence or their tactics, just allows him to just keep doing it and get worse and worse and worse. This is kind of the first case I've seen like this, where he's just unfettered access to just. Ugh.
Right. Well, and all things beyond like the original stuff, like all of these attacks that we've kind of just started talking about, like they only went on for about a year, but it was just this year of absolute terror for this town, you know, because they just had no idea. There was another bit of a hiccup soon after this third attack when another man who assaulted two women with a noose, which I don't think I have ever heard of that.
like, do you, I mean, I guess you hit them first with it and then.
Maybe, like, did you try to lasso them or something? Like,
right? Or do you just put it, like, you just pop, this is where you should wear hats in the 1920s, I guess. or 30.
Yeah, I like. Is that how you? You just like.
Hats actually were a way to deflect nooses.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Can't
yeah,
tell like if she's fucking with me or if she's.
Like I don't know.
Is that
like,
why we all wear cowboy hats?
Yeah,
it helps.
Like, do you just run up behind somebody and just drape the noose around their neck and then just right. run back well, the I other mean, way? I like, what?
Fuck you, I got my sombrero on. Fuck you guys.
Right. I think that actually might. I feel more confident about wearing larger hats now.
There you go.
Good save.
That's what I'm going to say.
Good save.
Yeah. You're not only super fabulous, but you are now so much safer from noose attacks.
Remember that house that I, that house, that hat that looked like a house that I showed you?
Yes. That was the biggest hat I've ever seen.
That is the hat that I need. It will work great.
There you go. All right. Well, so this man who had assaulted these women, for some reason decided to confess to all of Peter's crimes when the police accused him. And so they sent him to an insane asylum, and the police patted themselves on the back for a job well done. Also, at this time, Peter, for some reason, took a bit of a hiatus for 5 months until August, when he struck again. So there's this bit of a lull in this year-long thing where everyone's kind of like, okay, you know, they found him, he confessed, he's gone, and Peter, for whatever reason, is like, I'm good for a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's like nothing. That's like a perfect like alibi, you know, on a silver platter.
Right, you're actually out of it. You're not going to get caught now.
Like, just stupid not to take that.
Well, and especially to go through 3 murders in a month. Like, I feel there's always a cooling down period for serial killers and stuff like that, and generally it gets shorter and shorter as they kind of get into their frenzy. You know, so maybe that was it. Maybe those 3 murders had, you know, just like sated him for a while, and then they were like, here's this thing on a silver platter, and he was like, okay, cool, like, I'm good for a bit. This is like, you know, it's all working in my favor. Yeah. But it, of course, didn't last long. And on the 21st of August, he stabbed 3 different random victims all on the same night. So apparently he said good evening to each one of them before stabbing deeply into their ribs and back. I assume that since we know what he said, that all 3 survived, but it didn't say specifically, so maybe they didn't. Maybe that's just what he said. They kind of brushed over those 3. There wasn't a ton of information. So,
you know, whatevs. Off of his, like, current record of being able to stab adults efficiently, that might be okay.
How old is he again during this? 30?
I believe in his 30s. I think let's see, hold on. Okay, he was 30 in 1913, so that would make him, what, 40, 49? Almost 50? Is that right? I think so.
I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
No.
He's all older than I thought. Okay.
So, next up is another just super fucking heinous attack. On August 23rd, hundreds of people were celebrating enjoying the annual fair, including 14-year-old Louise Lenzen and her 5-year-old foster sister, Gertrude Hamaker. Around 10:30 p.m., they began walking home when they were stopped by a man who stepped out of the shadows. Run away, boys and girls, a man ever steps out of the shadows.
If anybody's name's Curtin or Peter, just...
Is that where people get like, it's curtains for you, villain?
Ooh,
oh my god, I wonder.
Right?
That's gonna mean something different to me now, though, that I know what curtain, like, curtain sex is. Like, it's curtains for you. It's just someone standing right? with their dick out between the curtain.
Telling a cuckold to go into the curtain. Like
a normal person...
Like, no, I'm going to flick it.
First you flick it, then you suck it.
Time for curtain sex.
All right. So he asks Louise if she, quote, would be very kind and get some cigarettes for me. I'll look after the little girl. So Louise runs back to the fair, and then Peter strangled little Gertrude and then slit her throat. When Louise returned, he dragged her off the path, where he then strangled and decapitated her.
So, wow.
You know, yeah.
Wow. Was he smoking a cigarette when he did it?
I don't think so. Lulu, are you okay?
I'm looking at a picture of him. He's rocking the popular, like, Hitler stash.
Yes, he has a great Hitler stash. So that's...
Because I'm sure that was, like, in at the time. And then I'm trying to figure out why there's a head of him. I'm sure you're going to tell me.
We're going to get there. Okay, so when... The very next day after murdering both of these little girls, another woman named, or girl, I think she was kind of maybe like teen, like late teens. I'm not sure. Anyways, her name was Gertrude Schultz. She was accosted by Peter, who tried to get her to have sex with him. And she said, "I'd rather die." So he answered, "Die then," before stabbing her. She also was lucky enough to survive and was able to provide a description of him, but unfortunately his looks were, like, so basic that it could have been any right. number of
It could
men.
Have been Hitler.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. So Dusseldorf is gripped in a constant state of panic, and Peter is reveling in it. He is all about it. In September, he raped and murdered Ida Reuter, and then in mid-October, he beat to death Elizabeth Dorrier.
Jesus.
Then on October 25th, he attacked two different women at different times by hitting them with a fucking hammer.
Jesus. He just likes to utilize all of the tools.
Pretty much.
Peter kind of looks like that cat from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah. Also, looks like a generic male.
Yeah, he is very...
As a generic male, I take offense to that.
I mean, if you grew a little...
Oh my god, he looks like me!
Stash, right, if you grew a little hit stash... And then did that, like, horrible little side part thing that he's got going on there. That was a horrible
And Peter Curtin. No. I don't want to be Peter Curtin.
Please don't.
You definitely look like this dude.
Yeah. Well, so these two women that he hit with hammers, they also survive. But again, his basic bitch looks made it so the police couldn't really narrow down the suspect.
I love that I've now learned that Hitler was a basic bitch.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know, because it's not like we saw, like, a ton of, I mean.
How is that common knowledge? You're like, well, yeah.
I don't know.
It was a basic bitch. Duh.
Didn't you know that he wore leggings and UGG boots? And
right. Well, I didn't realize that. Like, I thought that mustache was like a trendsetter thing, not a, like, going with the flow thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the stash was there before the hate.
Also, before all you, like, before anyone, like, sends out some basic bitch hate, I do all of those things. I am the basic bitch. So
she is Hitler.
Look, there's a reason why basic is actually pretty helpful. Like,
yeah,
it's because it's, like,
it's a thing.
Really easy to do.
Lizza is Hitler.
Or not, but okay.
Oddly enough, I think killing thousands, millions, or whatever, lots, is not basic.
No, that, yeah, he
That takes time and effort, and that's not what basic is about.
You're right. Peter Curtin and Hitler both had to put a lot of effort into their looks.
No effort into their looks. They chose a basic look so that they could have an unbasic
activities, extracurricular hobbies? Activities.
So are we saying that basic looking people most definitely have an alternative motivation behind the scenes?
Well, I mean, I would say that my basic motivation is that I don't care enough and I'd rather sleep more.
Yeah, but you don't look basic, though. So it's like, I can tell that you're not trying to murder me with a hammer.
All I wear is jeans and a t-shirt. I do spend some time on glasses. I have not changed my hairstyle in, I think now, 8 years.
It's just gotten longer. That's
right. I don't see the funny part is I don't even think it's gotten longer because I keep trimming off the same like chunk of bits that all just get frayed and whatever. So it really has been stagnant this entire time. Like my entire like life has become in. I think. Well, Sam's getting, you know, having to get fat pants, but like, yeah. Otherwise, it's been very, very stagnant. I did, however, purchase some merch.
You did. I saw. I'm so excited. Did it get there yet?
Yes. Yes.
Do you love it?
I have my socks. I have my sweatshirt. I think I'm giving the sweatshirt to Joe because you can. It's like got like it's a scoop neck one, so it's got a really rockin' 80s vibe, and I feel like she's rocking the 80s vibe way better than I am.
All right.
So
these fuckers survived hammer blows.
Hammer blows, yeah. I love your, like, just, we're going back to it.
Right.
Gotta get back. But,
I know. But they, yeah, but, and so again, they were able to describe him to the police, but they're like, yeah, that's like everyone.
Right.
On November 7th, he committed what is thought to be his last murder. He strangled and stabbed 5-year-old Gertrude Alberman 36 times with a pair of scissors.
Was it like the shitty kid scissors?
I don't think they had shitty kid scissors back then.
Yes, I don't think they had safety scissors in the 30s or 20s.
Oh, I think I just found scissors.
could you imagine trying to stab somebody with just poke?
Maybe that's why he stabbed them so many times.
I have totally been in a situation where I had to, like, perform first aid due to safety scissors.
That is just...
It's magic.
I feel like
those things can't cut paper worth shit, but tip the finger, I can cut that off.
Nice. Perfect. So... After that, he hides her body under a mass of bricks and rubble. And then 2 days later, he sent a letter to a local newspaper with a map telling them where they could find her body.
That's new.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just fucked. After this, there were numerous strangulations and more hammer attacks, but none of them ended up in death up through May of 1930.
Oh, so he didn't, like, stop murder, like...
Oh, no.
It's just that was the last
person he just wasn't successful.
Successfully killed.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Oh.
I wonder if he was getting bored of killing people and he was like, I like that they're alive. Like
me, I mean,
he might. You're right. He could have been into that.
He's like, I'm done. I've done that. Been there, done that. Need something new.
All of this goes up through May of 1930, and then on the 14th of May, a domestic servant named Maria Budlick arrived in Dusseldorf looking for work. She met a man who offered to show her the way to a boarding house, but when he started to take her on a shortcut through the park, she got nervous. So they start arguing, and then a second man, Peter, showed up and, quote, rescues her.
No. Oh, man.
So there was, like, one guy that was going to do something bad, and then another guy that's going to do something worse.
God.
Yeah, this poor
is
lady. Why,
this is how it's like feminism really could be a thing, and then they had to do some man hating for a little bit because Jesus,
right?
He's a double showcase, like fucking.
I know.
Goodness gracious.
And then it just like it gets even weirder. So he offers to let her stay in his apartment because his wife was away that night, and then he tried to have sex with her, but when she declined, he actually listened to her and agreed to find her somewhere else to stay. But of course, it was all just a ploy. So he ends up leading her into the woods where he raped her and then led her back to the tram that they had taken and just was like, later.
Maybe he just wasn't feeling it that day, you know?
Well, so later when they asked him why he didn't kill her, he said he didn't plan to because she offered no resistance and he didn't think she could find her way back to his apartment.
Wow.
There you go. Why create a problem when you don't have to have one?
Right? Wow. But that also is where he was
mistaken.
Incredibly wrong.
Yes.
Maria was severely traumatized, like, duh. But she was also too worried about the stigma of being a rape victim. So instead of going to the police, she wrote a letter about it to a friend. But the letter ended up going to the wrong house. And the woman who received it read it and then took it to the police. So the police tracked down Maria, who then eventually, like, worked up the nerve to lead them back to Peter's apartment. But he saw them and packed a bag and fled before they could arrest him. Like, I think he ended up, like, just walking by the plainclothes cops that were outside, like, before they figured out it was him.
Jesus.
So he goes and gets, like, a hotel room or something like that. And ends up confessing everything to his wife, who was obviously devastated, not only at this monster that she had married, but also without his support, she was looking at basically a life of destitution in the midst of the Great Depression. You know, he was their main, like, the sole provider.
What was he actually doing as, like, a job?
I have no idea.
Can we look that up? I want to see what that was.
Yeah, sure. At one point, he was like a molder, but that was during like that time where he was actually living like a normal life. I'm not sure once they got to Dusseldorf what he was doing.
What if he was actually just a hitman and all of these are just like hits that the mafia asked for?
The 3-year-old or whatever?
Yeah, like the 5-year-old little girl.
I feel like they...
The mafia's really fucked up, dude. You don't pay your dues.
I'm gonna go with no. So instead of all of that, he hatched a plan and convinced his wife to go along with it, where she would help get him captured for the large reward being offered. Because for whatever reason, like, he had a great regard for his wife. Like, yeah. Like, even though, like, cheated on her and all of this kind of stuff, like, he was like, yeah, she's, you know, she's a nut.
Raping someone count as cheating, or just, like, at what point in time are we not worried right. about the, like, fidelity of your marriage, but you're just more, like, worried about the atrocity?
I don't think that's considered cheating, because, I mean, it's just rape.
Right. Whatever it is, it's wrong.
Right.
How but, fucked like, up? She's just like, I'm okay, like, wow, you're really fucked up. Now let's scheme a plan together so I can get paid out.
He wanted to care for her. He came up with the plan and had to convince her that she should do that. And because she was so scared of being completely destitute, she eventually did go along with it. But yeah, he wanted to care for her. Like, as far as I can tell, I don't think he did anything bad to her. Like to her specifically, that, you know, all these other horrible things that he did to women. Wow. So I don't know what it was about her, but yeah, it was
very strange.
Very strange. I don't feel like that's super usual. So anyways, she goes to the police and helps them basically kind of set up a sting that he walked into because he knew about it. And so he's taken into custody with no incident and then relished going into gory details about his past crimes so that he could, like, watch the stenographers and stuff, like, get grossed out. He ended up confessing to 79 total offenses and would end up being charged with 9 murders and 7 attempted murders. His trial started April 13th of 1931, and Peter was held in a special shoulder-high cage that they built in the courtroom, I guess, to keep him from escaping.
Is, like, this what Hannibal Lecter used? As, like,
right? This sounds like a Hannibal Lecter, like, kind of thing. They're like, yeah, you're so messed up, dude.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Behind this cage, there were grisly pieces from his crime scene, like the skulls of his victims, body parts displaying the injuries he inflicted, knives, ropes, scissors, and a hammer. And then what was kind of, like, almost equally as shocking to the public was Peter's appearance. So he wore an immaculate...
so normal.
Exactly. He wore an immaculate suit and he was well groomed and soft spoken and just not at all what they expected this vampire of Dusseldorf to look like. They, you know, they're expecting this, you know, horrendous monster to come skulking out, and he's just this, you know,
dude in a box.
Yeah.
So could you see his outfit in the box that he was in, I guess?
Yeah, it was just a cage. Okay. Like,
did they ever confirm that he's, like, drank blood or anything?
It never said specifically whether he did or not. But I guess, yeah, for whatever reason, they were like, yeah, we're pretty sure that he's doing that.
Gross.
Yeah, not my favorite beverage. So he initially pled not guilty and said that he had confessed only to secure the reward money for his wife.
Uh-huh.
But after 2 months of examination, he again pled guilty and then stood by his original confession. He was convicted of all 9 murders and sentenced to death by guillotine. And after the trial, he struck up a sort of, like, friendship or trust or something with Professor Karl Berg, who was an eminent German psychologist who ended up writing the most comprehensive book of Peter's life. Peter ended up telling him that his primary motive was sexual pleasure, and the number of stab wounds varied because of the amount of time and blood it took to get him off.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of them only had, like, 3 stab wounds.
Right, the kids.
Yeah. So, I know. It's God. No good.
That's so fucked. It's like a stab diagram of jizz and horror.
Nope.
Goodness.
He continued to assert that his fucked childhood and then the penal system were the cause of all of his sadistic tendencies.
And very, I mean, like, possible, honestly.
Like, the childhood, yes. Like, I feel like he had no choice, or, like, there was no way he was coming out of that with, like, normal sexual tendencies or anything like that. But there's also still, there's no excuse. Like,
yeah, there's, it's not an excuse. It's just a
observation.
Right. It just is a fact, is that, I think both of those things probably fucked him up real good and probably taught him new ways to do some shitty things.
Well, right, when you've got a fucking Mr. Miyagi showing you how to fucking fuck dogs, like, that's fucked.
Right,
yeah.
Wax on.
Yeah.
Wax on.
No.
No. No. bad noodles. Okay. On July 1st of 1931, he ate his last meal of Wiener Schnitzel, fried potatoes, and white wine. He also spoke with Dr. Berg and asked him, quote, "Tell me, after my head has been chopped off, will I still be able to hear, at least for a moment, the sound of my own blood gushing from the stump of my neck?" You guys all right over there?
Who asks that?
Mr. Curtin does. Dr. Berg told him that he would probably have a few seconds after the blade struck, and Peter said, quote, "That would be the pleasure to end all pleasures."
I like that sound. Yeah, that's nice. Real good.
Okay.
I don't like that sound at all. Lolo's face says it all.
That was the sound. That's to get back at you for the sounds you were making earlier.
Why do I have to be involved?
You just, you're along for the ride.
Damn it.
Yep. So the next morning at 6 a.m., despite protests by the German Humanitarian League, he was led to the guillotine and beheaded. We're talking about 1931. They were still using the guillotine.
When did the guillotine officially have its last beheading?
I don't know.
I feel like it still actually might be a thing that's maybe used somewhere. I'm sure it's used somewhere.
Oh, you guys, I gotta go. I'll be back in a minute. Okay, welcome back. So I don't know exactly what I said or how this ended. We had to take a very sudden and unexpected break because my poor little fluff baby had a seizure.
Sad Bella.
I know. So send some loves to my fur baby. But yeah, so if this doesn't go real smoothly between whatever I said last, that's because I literally ran away. So
I kind of threw my head. Is that what you do for all seizures? You just run away from them?
No, she runs to them. Yeah, I ran away from you guys.
She's super seizure.
Yeah, I kind of threw down my headphones and was like, I'm out. It's never good timing, but we literally have two sentences left. So let's get to those two sentences.
I feel like the last thing that we had happened was that his head fell off in the basket. Were we discussing if they were still doing,
Oh yeah. Guillotines.
Yes. Yes. He had just been beheaded. And that yes, it was 1931, which seems very late to me for still using the guillotine.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it's still happening somewhere.
Somewhere they're still like, ha-ha!
I want to say it was like the 50s, 40s, 40s.
It's very possible. Yeah, I think it went for quite a long time.
Yeah, we'll look it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know, yeah, I'm totally going to look this shit up.
Okay.
First, well, I have to know how to spell guillotine.
G-U-I-L-L.
L.
So many.
O-T. O-T? I thought it was I-T. O-T-I-N-E.
Yep.
Wow. O-T.
Guillotine.
Oh, God, no. After his head, fell off, soon after that, scientists examined his brain, looking for any irregularities that might explain his behavior, but I don't believe that they really found anything.
Last use of the guillotine was 1977.
No way.
And in 81 is when they finally were like, maybe let's not use that anymore. The French really love the guillotines. Or guillotines, whichever.
I mean, I think it's pretty humane.
I mean, it seems like it. The doctor was like, yeah, you'll hear your blood fall out of your head or something, but, you know.
But only for a few seconds. Like,
I mean, I feel like
this. How does he know? Like,
seriously. Well, actually, oh my God, on a side note, and it could just be because I've been watching the Dead, Walking Dead thing, but they were saying that brain cells will grow, like, fire off after you've died for like a day or so.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, okay. It was like it was a surprising amount of not deadness. I don't know. I'm just reading bullshit on the internet, so clearly anybody can make whatever up, and I am not actually quoting anything, so that means I actually could have made everything up.
Like I had mentioned before,
yes.
Like I had mentioned before, I wanted to become a coroner or a medical examiner when I was a young man. And one of the main reasons I didn't continue that path was because I realized that dead bodies
still fart.
That's true. That's very true.
A lot of weird noises.
And but they can move. They move.
Yep.
Like they can spasm just randomly.
Yeah.
Or you and like that combined with a fart. Moan. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty creepy. Yeah. I don't know what exactly they were hoping to find, but I'm guessing just they didn't really have the technology in 1931. They just kind of looked at it and were like, "Oh, that's
zombie
great.
Genes are a thing." Research shows, and this is from dailyscience.com, research shows some genes come to life in the brain after death.
Like they don't, they're not firing until the brain's dead?
Yeah, they wake up afterwards.
That is so
I wonder cool. if that's what happens when people have near-death experiences, is that they recall those firings.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
They're like,
you're getting all smart.
Bing bong.
All right, well, you know, his synapses fired or did whatever they did, but after the scientists explored his brain, they bisected his head and then mummified it, and it's now on display in Wisconsin at the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, where it hangs split in half from a giant metal hook.
Looks like it was spinning, too.
It's gross. There is definitely
gotta go to Wisconsin. Anywho,
that wraps up this. That was it. I told you there was two sentences. Sentences. We were
well,
so close.
Well, and in those two sentences, we've learned that zombies. Yeah, zombies are real.
Zombie jumbo.
So
are those Jamba Juice zombies?
I was going to say Bon Jovi zombies.
They're zombies that worked at Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
Bon zombies.
Too much.
Right. You got zombified through contaminated Jamba Juice.
Delicious.
Oh, no, I love Jamba.
Right? Oh, it's so good.
What does Jamba even mean?
Dance or maybe? I don't know.
Isn't he the big alien from Lilo and Stitch? It's Jamba. Sorry.
Stitch, I think he was an alien. I totally forgot.
I want to make a spoof off of Star Wars, Jamba the Hutt. Where it's Pizza Hut and Jamba Juice mixed together.
But that's lost all of the... We've skipped out on the zombie part.
And the waitresses are Leia's.
That was like actually the important part of the zombie part.
The zombie part. There you go. Well, we're not doing zombies this week. We're doing vampires.
Oh, are we doing zombies? Hey, guess what's your favorite zombie movie? 28 Days Later. Perfect zombie movie.
Shaun of the Dead.
What?
How is that not?
Okay, that's a great. That is a great movie, but I think 28 Days Later is like the remake, the UK remake. Fantastic, fantastic score.
Shaun of the Dead.
Period. Fantastic cinematography. Fantastic zombies. They run and scream like real people.
After the period that we're still talking about it. But I can tell you that some cells increase their activity and grow to gigantuan, that's what it says, proportions, according to new research. Thank you.
There you go. By the way, mine is Zombies of Mass Destruction. So,
Zombies of Mass Destruction. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. Speaking of the 73, did any of you watch Zombieland? Z Nation. It was Z Nation, and there was a horrible ending to Z Nation. Horrible ending. And that concludes this episode.
Of vampires, not zombies. Vampires, which I mean, I guess are kind of zombies because they are what the living dead,
right? Right. I mean, I feel like this dude.
Zombies, second cousins.
There's a lot of crossover. He just arbitrarily decided that he was a vampire. Like there wasn't like a lot of vampire-ness about him. There was a lot of stabby.
What if zombies are like the malformed incest childs of
they're just the redneck vampires. Vampires are the upper echelon of assholery.
Perfect. All right, well, on that ridiculous note, we did the thing. Thank you to both of you guys for coming back to finish up these last minutes.
I'm sorry about your dog, Bella. If you guys have experiences with dog epilepsy, let us know. Yeah. And we're trying to pinpoint if this might be nocturnal because of her REM cycle.
Huh? What does your vet say about this?
Basically that we need to get her on meds because they keep happening.
Generic.
Yeah. So, since I'm having kind of a shitty day now, please rate, review, subscribe, make my day better. Go buy some merch. It's awesome and comfy and will make you feel better.
The sweatshirt was very soft. And the socks, are socks that I wear.
Does anybody else hate the word merch? I don't like the word merch. Merch.
Swag. Go buy our swag. Is that better?
Go procure yourself a wonderful article of clothing that portrays death and murder and dog nothing.
Nope. Yeah, no. You
merch.
Do not
go buy merch.
Go buy our merch. All right, gotta go. Bye-bye.
Noodle's not allowed to talk anymore. Okay. So thank you so much, guys. Rate, review, subscribe, buy shit, and bye-bye from me.
Bye-bye.
See you on the flip side, suckers.
Perfect.
All right, done.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our website at todieforpodcast.com. If you'd like to follow us, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at todieforpodcast, as well as our fluffy fam on Instagram at todieforpodcast_fluffyfam. If you'd like to send us an email, todieforpodcast@gmail.com. Cover art is thanks to Joelle Haight, and original music was created by Vincent Amston. Have a spooky day!